We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. Man, I mean, this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I'm going to go to the phones right now because I left him hanging on the last one. I might totally apologize. Brian from Huntsville, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, no apologies necessary, sir. If it's like the choice to put an Alexa in the house, it's my choice to call in, and it's not my show. And I have absolutely no problems whatsoever, sir.
Well, I'm glad of it, man.
The first thing real quick, Jeff from Indiana, if you're listening, I know more than one people that have been praying for your wife in the hospital. And I couldn't find it, and they couldn't either. May we have the honor of knowing your wife's first name to make her prayers more intense?
I will just tell you right now, I talked to him earlier. His wife's name is Carolyn, and she is doing better. And I'll leave it at that. She was at home resting by the time he drove in finally. So,
fantastic.
More to come, but she's doing better.
Excellent. Now, the other thing is Nexa. I'm sorry, Alexa, please don't shoot her, especially if you're not in the city limits like I am. Don't throw her in the backyard and get arrested over shooting her. Otherwise, you could use a crossbow. But the biggest thing is I just put a clip on the side of mine, a little plastic one that hangs cords. And when I want to make sure that the room's nothing's being heard, I just unplug the power and put in the clip until I want it.
Well, fair enough. Fair enough. Your choice. Well, I just think it's creepy.
I understand too. But then again, if you want to have some fun with your Alexa, start telling her the things you're going to do to her. Alexa, I'm going to do this to you. And you'll hear some interesting responses. Y'all have a wonderful day.
All right, man. We'll see you. And by the way, for those who didn't know, Jeff from Indiana, who calls in virtually every day on the show, let us know yesterday that he was, you know, he's an over the road driver. So he was hours from home and found out that his wife was at the emergency room. So, but she is doing better. And I think there's probably still some things left to be done to follow up, but, let's just say she's doing better. So thank you all for your prayers and concern for Jeff Rowe from Indiana. Let me get a few more text messages and I'll jump on into our topic. John from Huntsville did say, Phil, fantastic monologue. Also, your Army extra credit trivia question I promised you is a two-parter. Oh, boy. Said each part is worth 5 extra credit points. So here's your question. What's the title of the Army's official song and on what important holiday was it declared their official song? Okay, the official song is known as the Army song, but it's also known as the Caissons Go Rolling Along. I hope I said that correctly. Otherwise, my Army buddies are going to be wearing me out. On what important holiday was it declared their official song? The Army birthday, I believe, but I'm not positive. So that one I may have. Hopefully, I got half my question points right. Morgan from Fort Myers says, Big Brother is watching you. I have thought that smart thermostats and Ring doorbells and automatic door locks and garage locks have been a bad idea. If I can open them remotely, hackers can open them remotely, and that might mean that someone who takes exception to things that I own or people I associate with could possibly open them as well, and I don't like that idea, says my suspicious brethren there from Fort Myers, Florida. Morgan, thank you. John from Brownsboro says, I watched a show on carbon footprints. After mining the minerals in Canada, shipping them to China to be made into batteries, installed into vehicles to be shipped to the USA, you would have to keep that car for 12 to 15 years to offset the carbon footprint of the very production. Wow. And the batteries last 6 to 10 years, driving in a deficit in perpetuity. It's nuts, man. But hey, it's for the planet. Don't you understand? David from Huntsville says, I think the Biden campaign is worried now that Trump may be reelected to do mass deportations of illegal aliens. That's why the mass amnesty initiative that Biden wants. It'll keep hundreds of thousands of people here who would normally be deported. You know, here's the thing. If it's an executive order, it can be rescinded. If Congress does it, that's different. So in the absence of congressional action, he can try an executive order. Trump can still rescind it. A brand new texter in the string, Barry from Huntsville. Barry, glad you're here. Welcome to the show. Says nobody's above the law unless you're an illegal and a future Democrat voter. Democrat spelling D-I-M-O-C-R-A-T. Barry, you're going to fit right in here. Frank from Huntsville says, I'm not sure Biden will be on the ballot come November. I agree with you. He says, the foreign media is now writing articles about his mental decline, so my prediction is the Democrats will get someone else. I'll tell you my prediction here momentarily. And then John from Huntsville again says, the correct answer is the Army's rolling along, and it was declared their official song on Veterans Day 1956. Rats. I can sing it. And the caissons go rolling along. Anyway, all right. So let me make a prediction, and then I'm going to go back and kick off my monologue with a text that came from John from Harvest. All right. Here's my prediction. I have said it on the show at least twice before, but I'll label it again. Today, June 18th, 2024, at 2:40 p.m. Central Time, I'm making a prediction. I think that they set the debate, the first debate, much earlier in the season than usual, so they can see how Biden does. And if he gets up there and he can't hang, then they have also set the Democrat National Convention, the DNC, later in the season than usual. It's set in late August, like August 19th, I believe. So if that's the case, they've given themselves between mid-June to mid-August to figure out what they're going to do to get rid of him. I think if he goes badly in the debate, I think you're suddenly going to see some reason why he needs to step down to take care of his family because of Hunter's legal troubles, or maybe they'll be bold enough to say he actually is in mental decline, but I don't think they want to admit that because that'll be an admission of what they've been hiding for the last, 3 years. And then, then who do they bring in? There's a lot of speculation right now that suddenly you're starting to see Hillary Clinton out and about. Oh, Lord God. If they resurrect Hillary Clinton, then they are desperate because they have no other, their bench is not very deep, if you will. Would Gavin Newsom do it? Oh, he'd do it in a heartbeat. He's already measured the drapes in the White House. But can they get that past the voters? I just don't know. So the question is going to be, how do they do this? How do they get him off the ballot? And I think what they have to do is they have to go ahead and have a good grounds why he's having to step down so they can immediately begin to work the issue and then do a floor switch. And it's has to be a floor switch at the DNC. They're going to have to, and it's going to have to be approved at the DNC. That's going to change all the ballots late in the season. But you know what? Right now they're losing badly. He's performing badly. And we'll just see. We'll just see. That's my prediction. All right, listen, we're going to kick off the first dipper here. We're going to have a call from the top of the hour with John Rogers from Signal Polling. So John from Harvest sent me a great text. He says, the latest polls are encouraging, but I'm quick to caution folks, don't get cocky. Totally agree. He said, polls don't mean anything if folks don't go vote. The GOP has a serious turnout disadvantage with too many states having mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting with little to no verification requirements. Last federal election cycle, he said, I received a Georgia ballot in the mail for my son. The only thing is he hadn't lived in Georgia for 2 years. He was currently living in Hawaii and the ballot was mailed to Alabama. He said, I worry too many ballots are sent out willy-nilly and they can conveniently find their way back to a ballot box. All right. You make some great points, John from Harvest. And a good way to start off is what you said about polls. So we're going to talk here about the numbers, all right? There's some new, very encouraging numbers. And if you follow polls and polling, you know that, all right, sometimes you got to take it with a grain of salt. At the very least, though, they do show you trends. Real quality polls, there's different kinds of polls. The real polls are the ones that take a fairly decent sample size, and they do a cross-section, and they have what's called cross-tabs, where you can review the crosstabs and you can break it down by demographics and you can see the trends and they get a large swath and they don't try to guide the questions. Then there's the ones we call push polls. Push polls are the ones where you get a robocall. Do you like this kind of thing? If the answer is yes, would it encourage you to know that so-and-so did this and this and this and would that change your vote? That's called a push poll. They're trying to tell you why if your answer went a certain way, maybe you ought to rethink it. Or if your answer didn't go this way, that lock it in because it's very important. A push poll is not worth the paper it's written on. A push poll is something that candidates who are losing use to try and bolster their own imagery on their mailouts that they send out. Hey, in a local poll, I got this. And they don't mean squat. But real polling can be an indicator. And y'all, I've run for office at the state Senate level twice, and I can tell you both times I polled losing and I knew I wasn't losing. Okay. And then I won big. Just saying. It depends sometimes also who's paying for the poll, because then they can structure the questions. And then they can begin to easily do a sample from a demographic that is more favorable. So if I see a poll as a Republican in a generally speaking Democrat area, I know what the results are going to be. If you're trying to poll the presidential election right now, but you're only going to do it in the center of Birmingham, even though we're in a red state, guess what you're going to get? A largely skewed Democrat poll. But there are great, respectable pollsters out there who do amazing work by keeping integrity and keeping honesty and keeping transparency all in the forefront as they do their polls. And some of them are coming out right now with results that the Biden administration does not want to hear about. I mean, like, this ain't good. Not for Biden anyway. We'll talk about it. I'm optimistic. Let's put it that way. In the meantime, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take that break. We will come right back and jump on into By the Numbers. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, several of y'all are texting in. Kim from Athens says, Joe will not agree to step down. I hope they're stuck with the with the senile dummy, she says. Yeah, well, we'll see. They're stuck with him for right now. At the very least, they can't just walk away. How about that? They're going to have to work for it. Jeff from Holly Pond thinks that they ought to bring in Whoopi Goldberg.
Or Oprah Winfrey.
Or Oprah Winfrey. I see it now. Yes, it came in two separate texts. Wow. John from Huntsville says, meant to say the Army song goes, the Army goes rolling along. So I'll award you some extra credit points. And when it comes to AI, be careful what you say if you have a Roomba robot cleaning your floors. I did not know Roomba was a thing like that. So Roomba, man.
The newer ones have the voice control, I think.
Well, does it like listen to you? Like
you just say, hey, clean the floor, and it'll just start going.
But what else does it listen to besides just,
I guess,
hey, everything. Clean the floor?
Everything, I guess.
Hey, Roomba, bake me a cake. I mean, what is it? Just like, hey, Roomba, what's the answer to the meaning of life? Does it just, all of that?
Yeah, it's like powered by Alexa or whatever.
Oh, my gosh. It's a freaking Alexa again. Yep. Okay. Brian from Bluntsville sent in something. What is it? Smart meters, smart cars, smart phones, smart cities, smart homes. The word smart refers to self-monitoring analysis and reporting technology. Dang. Does it really, or do you just make that up? Either way, I get it. All right. I'm not sure what's happening, but we're getting some love from one of our texters. I just want to, Josh from Hayden, maybe you meant that for somebody else. Just saying. Check your text. All right. So, by the numbers, a new poll came out, and we'll probably hear more about this with our friend John Rogers after the top of the hour break, but a new poll came out, and it's one of those polls that's considered to be a bellwether poll. And when I say that, what that means is it's a poll that is clearly an indicator of larger trends. It's a poll that sets a standard that other people are like, hey, pay attention to that, because this could also mean. So it's called a gold standard poll. It's the Des Moines Register MediaCom Iowa poll. All right. There's a company called Seltzer's. All right. Seltzer's and Company. They're considered to be a very reputable, rock solid polling firm. They found that in their Iowa poll, that Donald Trump is now at 50% among likely voters, 18 points ahead of Biden. And even independent candidate Robert Kennedy was in that poll and got 9%. So that's huge, y'all. We're looking at right now, if that's the case, in 2020 in the same poll or the same election, Trump won Iowa by +8. But now he's up by +18. Interesting. The poll went on to show, too, that Trump's increasing his lead since the hush money trial conviction in New York. In other words, that may have actually boosted him as opposed to hurt him. which I think we can all see that. I think everybody's disregarding that. I think everybody's like on board with that as being like, put it on a poster, man. Just run with it. More T-shirts that say convicted, but still running. I mean, come on. But Biden has a net approval rating in Iowa right now of minus 39. Woo. Listen, he is tanking right now. These are called tanking polls. You're literally down so far that you're tanking. Now, you look at this and think, okay, what does this one portend? What does it mean in the bigger picture? It's Iowa. Okay, Iowa's pretty much a red state, right? Yeah, Iowa's a red state. I mean, it won't be a competitive state. It's like Alabama. It won't be a competitive state for a Democrat to go into on a statewide level. But here's the deal. If Iowa has a 7 to 10 point delta, meaning like that big of a lead, then you begin to compare to other states in the surrounding areas like Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania in the last two elections, and you compare the numbers in Iowa now to where the numbers were before, and you compare to how they did, and the bottom line is this. Trump's lead is pushing it to the point that people are beginning to think that he could actually win Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. What? Yeah. That's how big the Iowa poll is. They're not looking at it like, oh, yay, Iowa. They're looking at it like, what does Iowa mean compared to? And so that being said, there's no scenario right now where Trump wins Iowa by 18 points and still loses Wisconsin. I mean, the reality is, if he's polling 18 points ahead and holds that lead up through Election Day, that means he's probably won Wisconsin and maybe Michigan. Wouldn't that be huge? That'd be awesome. That'd be like next level. A guy named Nate Silver, who works, I think he's with 538. He's a big statistician. He's out there all the time running the numbers on this stuff. He says that basically with these low approval ratings for Biden, Democrats are freaking out. He responded to the latest poll from the Seltzering Company, one of the one in Iowa. He said it's not a great sign for Biden that some of his worst numbers are coming from the best pollsters. So what that basically means is, yeah, you can blow polls off if you want to, at your peril. If it's the best pollsters that are giving you these bad numbers, then guess what? You may be in trouble. Now, that being said, there's a lot of people out there watching what's happening right now. Trump has raised over $400 million since that conviction in June. $400 million. He raised like $200 million almost, from the get-go. And then you just compare to where he was in 2020 and compare to where he is right now. And the end result is the Biden campaign is in freakout mode right now. The Democrats are in freakout mode. They did not expect this. They thought that lawfare and just being able to implement every liberal policy, and we even paid off student loans and we're going to give amnesty. How come we're behind? Because you know what? You're Democrats and you overreached. You have no idea how to actually govern. And we're tired of it. I'm hoping that this means big doings all the way. But you know what? Grain of salt, because we got several months left. All right, coming back, John Rogers from Signal Polling and Analytics. He'll be with us. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, John from Elkmont just texted in and says, we absolutely have to win Michigan and Wisconsin. Or he said Michigan and Wisconsin. Either way, we got to win them. It would be interesting to see. And right now, like I said, polls are trending in good directions for Republicans. Not all of them. It depends on where you are. But there's been some interesting trends. Listen, I'm going to bring in somebody right now who's better at unpacking this than I ever could be. Good friend of mine, John Rogers, works with Signal Polling and Analytics. Signal, if you're not familiar, spelled C-Y-G-N-A-L, is becoming quickly one of the more respected pollsters in the entire nation. Started right here in Alabama. A guy named Brent Buchanan, and then he hired away somebody who I've had the pleasure of working with many times, is John Rogers. And John Rogers is a pollster right now with Signal and on the phone with us. John Rogers, how are you doing, my friend?
Phil, doing great, and great to be back with you and your audience today.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Listen, John, just before you came on, I unpacked a little bit of this most recent poll that came out of Iowa that seems to send kind of the shockwaves through the Democrats. But we're hearing a lot about demographic polling, like the black vote. And so just give us what you're seeing right now. What are you guys at Signal finding?
Yeah, so it's useful to think about this from the perspective of the battleground states, right? And so there are five states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Michigan, and Georgia. And you can maybe add a sixth one in Nevada to that as well. And those are kind of where the Electoral College is going to get decided in the race to 270 electoral votes. And what's striking is that in the states that are more demographically diverse, like Georgia and Arizona, Trump is doing really well right now. And a lot of it is because of Biden's weakness, growing weakness among Latino voters and then young black voters under the age of 50.
Wow.
And Biden is just really having a huge trouble with those voter groups, the likes of which we have not seen in quite a while.
Wow, that really is something. So on the question of black voters, you're saying that it's the younger black voters that are the ones that are trending away from Trump right now.
That's right. So black voters over the age of 50, we've seen in polling, and then also you can see in some public polling that the New York Times has done and some other good pollsters, that black voters over the age of 50, Biden's margins are still strong with those voters. But it's especially black voters under the age of 50, and really especially black men, where Biden is having a lot of trouble. And I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. I think one is that those voters, like, I think that there's a sense that the Democratic Party has kind of taken them for granted. And, you know, they look at the country now versus the country 4 years ago, and the economy is, you know, they believe that the economy was a lot better 4 years ago. But you have the president, President Biden, and his administration who are trying to say, hey, you know, don't believe what your eyes are telling you, but the economy is doing great, right? And inflation supposedly is just confined to this one sector or that sector. And that's not the way that people feel on the ground across the country.
No, you know, what's interesting, too, is I know the pollsters like yourself get the actual data to look at in black and white. But you can kind of see it anecdotally. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen so many of what I would call like black personalities, like pastors and rap stars and others that are posing with Trump and coming out and talking about it and, you know, and even dissing on the Biden campaign. So anecdotally, I think that kind of matches up with the trends. And I don't think we're going to wind up seeing, like, he's not going to suddenly, like, win the black vote. The Democrats are going to still probably prevail in that demographic for the time being. But it's definitely a change in what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, for sure. And there's been polling that has shown that Trump is at 20% of the black vote in some cases. You know, the issue or sort of the challenge for the Republican Party is that the Republican Party used to do better with higher education voters, college educated voters who would go to the polls all the time, right? And the Republican Party was sort of the party of the country club set. And that was the perception and working class. Voters tended to be more on the Democratic Party side. And that has switched a lot over the last 10 years. And so what that actually means is that a higher turnout election, like a presidential election, is actually going to favor the Republicans and President Trump. But the key is making sure that a lot of those people who maybe they've only voted once or twice in their life, and maybe, you know, they've only participated about half the time in presidential elections, going, you know, making sure that those people go to vote in the election for president and then also down ballot is going to be really key for conservatives.
So it's basically one of those things where it's get out the vote again, just like always, get out the vote, get out the vote, get out the vote. Well, all right. So I hear about the black vote. Do you have other demographics? Like, how's he doing? Do you have anything that talks about, the Latino vote or you know, suburban women vote? Because those two demographics are always at play, too, it seems like.
Yeah, there's some polling and some of our polling tracks this as well that shows that Trump and Biden are essentially tied, for instance, among 18 to 29-year-old voters and then also Hispanic voters. There's a lot of time. It's June 18th. There's a lot of time between now and November. The debates, I think, are going to be really key, even more than they are in some past elections. I saw that there was, some some news on Twitter where the Biden camp was evidently trying to get a policy in the debate that will allow President Biden to be seated and not to have to stand for the entire first debate.
Yeah.
And I think that's a sort of voters just have like a sense that Biden is weak, right? Physically, and then also in every other way that you can think of, and there's a weak economy. And when you have somebody who's as physically frail as he obviously is, the debates I don't think are going to help him.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder. In fact, I think the only thing they really help right now is for the Democrats to see whether or not they have to take their candidate off the ballot. I look at it. That's my prediction, is that this is their litmus test. This debate is earlier in the season than usual, and I think they're going to wind up looking at Biden and trying to decide if they can get him all the way through to November or if they have to make a plan between now and the DNC. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, I think that, if you were a smart Democratic operative, I think you really would have loved to have seen a more vigorous debate at the beginning of this year, at the end of last year, about having an alternative nominee. But, the president, Biden's arrogance is what it is, and there was no way that he was going to step aside. And so I think unless there's just something, completely unexpected, I think he's going to be their nominee and likely go down with the ship.
Yeah, they're going to ride that train all the way to the end of the line. Well, all right. Listen, so you mentioned the battleground states a minute ago. Is there any one or two of those states that you think are most in play right now to swing Republican? Because we all know how close the race was last time. Even with all the setting aside all the questions about voter integrity and election law machinations, it was still considered to be a very close race overall. One or two swing states could make all the difference. Which ones do you think are most in play right now?
Well, two states that have been on the table and have been very competitive the last couple of cycles, which I think that Trump is going to win, are Georgia and North Carolina.
Okay.
And, going to what we talked about, the fact that Biden is so weak among young minority voters, especially young black men, that is not going to help him in a state like Georgia or in a state like North Carolina. And I think Biden's chance at getting to 270 really runs through the upper Midwest of Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And he has to win two out of those three. And in some cases, if you look at the way the Electoral College breaks down, he might have to win all three of those to have a shot. And, Wisconsin, I think of those three, Wisconsin is probably the most challenging for Trump and the Republicans. That's part of the reason why the Republican National Convention is going to be in Milwaukee, is to try to ensure that there's a really robust voter participation by all the Republicans in Wisconsin. But I think that's the state that's probably the toughest. And then, Pennsylvania is going to be, I think all eyes will be on Pennsylvania. It will probably tip the election, unless it really does just come down to the fact that Trump is going to win this going away and it'd be well over the 270 threshold.
Well, it'd be nice, too, if we had states actually get their results in like pretty much same day. That would be amazing so that we could figure it out and go to bed at night. All right. Well, listen, I tell you what, I look at this and I think last question, I guess, for you is in terms of the issues, Is there any indication in your documents, the numbers you've got in front of you, how lawfare, all the attacks on Trump legally, how they have, because it appears they've had no impact, maybe even actually favored him. Has it impacted the vote at all the lawfare?
Yeah, I don't think that, everybody knows Trump, right? And I think that he's such a known quantity that I'm not sure that especially the one in Manhattan, the trial that came down, I don't know that that's going to really have a huge effect. We did a poll right after the verdict came down, and 41%, a plurality of voters across the country, believed that the conviction would actually help his presidential campaign, versus 31% who said that they thought it would hurt his campaign, and yet another 19% who felt that it would have no impact. So I don't think that, if you're the Biden campaign and you're like depending on Alvin Bragg to be your ticket to winning. That's not a solid campaign strategy.
No, not at all. We'll wait and see how the appeal goes, too. I mean, there's so much more. But, well, listen, man, as always, I expected you would unpack it, and you did. Appreciate you making some time for us today, and we'll have you back on as the season progresses, all right?
Bill, great to be with you, and it's going to be an exciting summer and fall, that is true.
Yes, it is. Target-rich environment. Take care, man. That was John Rogers from Signal Polling and Analytics. Signal, C-Y-G-N-A-L is the way they spell their name. Signal, and like I said earlier, great organization run by super folks. I really like them. They were originally based out of Alabama, and they became a national organization a few years back. John Rogers actually ran my personal campaign. I hired him. His first job in politics was working my campaign. He went from there to working in Montgomery with the Pro Tem's office in the state Senate, and is now working in D.C. on national level stuff with Signal. That's very cool and knows his stuff. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll take some text messages, wrap that up, and begin to move towards the next topic, safe streets. Yeah, we got to talk, y'all. Safe streets. Can we expect them? Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, giving you all the truth to put on your bumper stickers. Got several text messages. I'll take them. Nofre from Lexington says, polls don't mean anything if the people don't vote. Well, that's a great point. That's why they poll likely voters. They'll actually ask people, do you expect to be a voter? Yes, no, or, you know, maybe. And then they actually break the poll down by who said yes, and then they go from there. It says, Republicans can be lazy, Nofre says, when thinking it'll be a red wave. And that is exactly right, man. 2022 should have been a midterm red wave, and it was just a fizzle. I think part of that is because of leadership and weak candidates, too. But we got rid of Ronald McDaniel, we got rid of Kevin McCarthy, and we should have gotten rid of our other mech problem, the McConnell, but he's still around. Kim from Athens says, vote like we're 10 points down. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Brian from Huntsville, talking about Roomba again, says, Roomba gathers all the dirt on you. That's creepy. David from Huntsville says, Trump could rescind the executive order, but this move by Biden is also about exciting his base before the election. I get it, and you are so right. Thomas from Athens says, I think the entire Dem leadership cabal, Obama, Clinton, Pelosi, Schumer, plus the billionaire puppet masters, have to convince the dwindling Biden team to get Joe and Kamala to step aside, especially after Joe's failure in the CNN debate. But, he says, the virtual Dem convention is very late in the game to get Newsom on board and the ballots. Hillary is a VP? Oh, no. I don't think Hillary would ever settle for VP. I think that Hillary, if she's going to be in the mix, if she's really going to be in the mix, she's going to demand to be the nominee with Newsom as her second. But we'll see. I'm going to jump into safe streets here momentarily, but let me just tell you, the question we had about a minute ago, the demographics of the vote, the breakdown, you know, who's got, you know, the bulk of the vote in the Latino vote, the black vote, the suburban women vote. Sometimes it's irritating to see it broken down, but at the same time, I get it. They're taking a good solid look at if you have a community that is predominantly one demographic over another, and you know how that demographic is leaning in the vote, it tells you how to campaign in that area. So that being said, with the black vote, Biden had anywhere between 89% and 92% of the black vote nationally in the last election. And y'all, that's like he pounded it. That is absolutely insurmountable. It is swinging to the point now that they're saying that Trump may reach 20%, which would mean that there's been a 9 to 10 point, maybe more, swing for Trump in that one demographic. It's a demographic, by the way, that the Democrats have just taken advantage of with a sense of expectation. Remember the whole thing about, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. What kind of a thing is that to even say? It's a clear indication that you're just like, hey, I expect it. Get on board. There's a guy who's a senior pastor of a church named Lorenzo Sewell who met with Trump the other day. See if I can get this out before the break. In Detroit. And he thanked him.
He said, Joe Biden and President Barack Obama, neither one ever came to the hood, in his words. Laura Ingraham asked this pastor, was he surprised by black voters moving to the right? Here's his quote. He said, the reason why it doesn't surprise me is because Democrats, they've taken our vote for granted. He said, the Democrats, they have led our community for 56 years. We have a $2.7 billion budget, but yet there's no change. You don't have to be spiritual. You don't have to be logical. You just have to see. He said, Ray Charles could see their policies are failing our communities. So right now, the black demographic, it's not going to be over. We're not going to win it. It's not. There's no poll out there in the world that's going to say, suddenly the Republicans got more than 50% of the black vote. No. But the fact that there's been an 8-point swing, think how close the last election cycle was. That alone can change things. That alone can change things. Watch them all. Polls, I take them with a grain of salt. If polls were always to be believed, I never would have gotten elected. But I did. And I think, though, there's times you have to pay attention. I call it by the numbers. And so I gave you some of the numbers today. All right, we're going to come back here in a minute. And we're going to move to a new topic. We'll be talking about some safe streets. Y'all, this is a big deal. And it's everywhere. And I'll tell you about some Alabama cities where it's a real problem. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.